Good morning.
Morning.
And as Matt said, Merry Christmas. So we are still in technically the season of Christmas, even though it's not Christmas anymore. Now, don't y'all get worried. I know I have two Bibles up here. I'll only read out of one of them right now. On this College Career Student Sunday, our scripture reading comes from the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, verses 7 through 9. Now hear these words. I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people's sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and his mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. This is the word of God for us, his people. If you will, pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to remember your presence with us, to remember during this Christmas season that it is you, Christ, and you alone who saves us. No matter what we do, Lord, it is you who guides us and you who saves us. Lord, during this time, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. In your name I pray. Amen. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, so he became their enemy and fought against them. Now that doesn't sound as comforting as our passage for today that we just read, does it? But it's actually what the prophet Isaiah penned immediately following what we just read, if you read on. Israel rebelled. And against what? God's presence. Now, we're not talking about the things that some or most of y'all probably got a few days ago on Christmas presents. We're talking about his presence with us, his being, his existence with us. Now, college students, I know that y'all are here on break, most of y'all, and so I hate to do this, but let's start with a little quiz or maybe a poll, a question. So I apologize for this. Has anybody here ever been lost? Husbands and fathers, you can raise your hands too. Or maybe the better question is, who's ever been lost and afraid to admit it? I raised my hand on that one. So I remember one time in particular in college that I was lost. I happened to get lost. You see, there's this example about acquiring wisdom more so than being directionally gifted, more about from whom you should take advice and from whom you should not take advice. There are some who you should not take advice from. I went to college in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and being from Cleveland County, I thought that Spartanburg was a big city, a veritable metropolis. Unlike my friends from Nashville and Atlanta who referred to Spartanburg as a small town, I didn't know my way around a big city like Spartanburg. Well, no matter where you go to school, see, you want to learn the layout of your campus, and if not in your hometown, you want to escape the college bubble sometimes, and you want to learn something about the city that you live in, am I right? And so I had a friend my freshman year who had a harder time learning the layout of Spartanburg than most, even more so than me. This friend and I tried to learn the most popular places around town for college students, but during the course of our freshman year, we began to hang out with a couple groups of people, a couple groups of high school guys as their leader in a ministry called Young Life. And we went through training during January, freshman year, and we knew everything about Young Life in Spartanburg. But then my friend had to start learning the community even better to hang out with these guys and relate to them because they were from the opposite side of town. They kept talking about all these unfamiliar places. So for the month of February, he was resigned to the bobblehead look whenever they would mention these places. Just nod in agreement. So he asked the guy who was a local pastor, and he had worked with Young Life in the area for 25 years, and he had grown up there, for advice on spots he should know and how to get to know the area better. And Steve's advice was this. You know, the best way to get to know an area, and what I did in college, is just drive out for around 30 minutes, take a few turns you don't know, and then try to find your way back a different way. Do that a few times over the course of a few weeks, and you'll have this town down pat. As the phrase goes, bless his heart. If only Steve knew what poor, lost, directionally challenged college student he was talking to. See, that Saturday morning, my friend woke up earlier than usual and decided to head out and take Steve's advice. He grabbed a biscuit at the cafeteria, and within 10 minutes, the wheels were rolling, and he was on his way. He was going to figure this town out. Long story short, there are two surprises to the ending of this story. The first is that my friend, by accident, an hour later, was on the opposite side of Greenville, South Carolina, still trying to find his way back. With no maps, app, or GPS. And the second surprise in into the story that friend was actually me. Now, you might not have gotten lost like my friend did, but the odds are that you've gotten lost at some time. In the grocery store, in the woods, in an unfamiliar city or a foreign country, in a traffic circle, as seems to be the recurring rate of my family on trips. On a new college campus, or on a different college campus. And I think that we can all agree here that no matter where or how you've been lost, it's not a pleasant experience. In those times of uncertainty, we can also all agree that it's pleasant to have a calming, guiding presence. Presence. See, in our passage today, the prophet Isaiah also speaks about presence. And Isaiah says that the Lord called Israel his people, that God became their savior, the one to redeem them, that in all their suffering he suffered, and it was the angel of his presence that saved them. Presence. Now, most translations read that it was the angel of God's presence that saved them. But if any of you are reading out of the New Revised Standard Version, you might read it a little different, which brings to light the weight of this. And here comes the second Bible. The New Revised Standard Version reads, I marked the wrong place. It reads thus, God became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. Presence. You see, it was the presence of the Lord that saved a lost people about whom Isaiah speaks. It was a lost people from whom God heard a cry go up from Egypt, who lived and worked under the oppressive rule, the yoke, the watch of Pharaoh, a cruel Pharaoh who didn't respect the gods of the Hebrews, the God of the Hebrews, but only cared about building monuments to himself, a people who God brought out of Egypt. It's a lost people who God led through the dry ground, across dry ground in the Red Sea, who God led into the wilderness, to whom God promised redemption and a land flowing with milk and honey. But before they reached that land, the people of Israel found themselves in that wilderness, in a land not their own, in a land of nowhere, homeless. They found themselves lost. It's not a pleasant feeling. See, the Lord heard their cry, led them out of Egypt away from danger, and made a way for them. But now what? Stranded in the wilderness, not knowing which way to go, not only geographically, but spiritually, lost. It's likely no longer happens in Walmart or the grocery store as it did when we were young, but it may not even be geographically, but many times today we find ourselves lost as well. Which way to go? Sports, school, clubs, bands, campus ministries, college majors, grad school, career. To which direction do we give our time? Practice, career, friends, family, exercise, study, grades, relationships, appointments, family birthday parties or graduations, trips. The dizzying array of options that our culture throws at us leaves us confounded, overwhelmed, paralyzed. How do we fit everything in? Looking at a weekly schedule now may cause panic attacks, should come as a warning label. Not only do we face the onslaught of choices to give to our time to, but we face choices in how we do it as well. You see, technology is a wonderful thing, but it's also created some problems. As easy as it is to schedule events, to communicate, to share photos, videos, arrange meetings, FaceTime with others, we've ironically become more stressed and more busy. Less able to grab a cup of coffee with a friend, to be still and meditate on the Word of God, to listen to a mentor or hear out an acquaintance, to be the Church of Jesus Christ. In many ways, we're burnt out, we're fragmented, we're lost. I remember my time in college felt this way, and students, how much more does it feel that way today? Constant competition between grades and friends for your time, stretched thin between time to study for a test for this class and work on a paper for that class, going to this event or that. It doesn't matter what walk of life we're in, though, whether we're in college or not, it seems that we're constantly stretched thin between choices nowadays, searching for our best options, trying to hold it all together, our best balance, to keep things in the best order that we can manage. We're trying to hold it together, and it likely won't get any easier. We're people stretched thin, church, and we're going through times of change, and things will likely keep changing. But church, Isaiah also offers us a glimpse into the obvious path in front of us. The same one that the Israelites faced in the wilderness. You see, the presence that Isaiah mentions is the same presence that guided the Israelites in their journey into the wilderness. Faced with the wilderness before them, the words of Moses, the leader of Israel, echo ours today in the face of uncertain futures, politically, socially, church-wise. "Look, you've told me," Moses said to God, "lead this people up, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me." Echo our words. "Look, God, you've told us to go out into the world to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, but in the face of a changing world, who will you help send to help us? How will we know where to go? What do we do? In what direction do we go? And where do we spend our time?" But Moses doesn't get a guide, as he asks. He doesn't get a helper, and he doesn't receive any direction. Rather, responds the Lord, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." My presence will go with you. Presence. In Hebrew, that word presence, pana, literally means face. The same word that David used in the Psalms to describe his desire to seek, to be in the presence of the Lord, to seek his face, to learn all of his ways, to dwell in his presence all of our lives. As we walk through the doors of this building out into the world to be followers of Jesus today, to be the church and to face options to which we can give our time and our energy, all our resources, as we face opposing ideologies, politically, religiously, at work, as we meet others who are unlike us, to walk through the wilderness, we're also called to seek the presence of the Lord and to seek his face. The question is whether or not we're willing. The presence of the Lord was the saving guide for Israel through the wilderness, but they lost their way from time to time, some even barred from entering the promised land because they believed the enemy's lie. They turned to another option that seemed closer or easier within their grasp than his presence and his way. Something else promised to give more life than the way of the Lord. They lost sight of his face, his presence. They became blinded by their search for the easy way out, for comfort, for what didn't require them to follow God. They built a golden calf in front of them, the easy option, instead of waiting and seeking the face of God, the word of God that came down with Moses from Sinai. They became blinded to his presence by comfort, by ease. But for those who followed his presence, for those who sought that pillar of fire, of cloud, and smoke, God was faithful to his promises. What awaited them was salvation, redemption, the true way forward, the way to the promised land. So are we willing to seek his presence today, his face? As Isaiah says, the only thing that can save us. Are we willing to follow his presence over to that side of community, of town, for a community meal? Are we willing to follow his presence into relationship with those who don't look like us, who don't speak like us, who don't think like us, who don't smell like us? It's easier many times not to invite that slight discomfort into our world. Are we willing to follow his presence into time in his word in the small hours of the early morning, into intentional time in prayer instead of wasted time piddling away, into relationship with him instead of relationship with our phone screens? It's easier to keep bumping up our measure of average weekly screen time, to not think about God's call in our lives. Are we willing to seek his presence no matter where it might lead us? So sisters and brothers, as we leave this place today, may we follow the presence of the one who came to save us from ourselves. May we follow his presence into his promises. Instead of building golden calves of our own, may we seek the face of the one who loved us so much that he came to live among us as one of us as we celebrate this Christmas season. May we shake off the way that the world wears us down. May we get up and may we go out of this place ready to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. May we think outside of ways to better ourselves only and think of ways to better others. In the coming year, may our resolution be to seek the face of Christ and long to dwell in his presence forever. For this is the way of life and life itself.